All right, everybody. We are going to get started today. I'm going to give everybody a minute or two to get in. I'm going to let y'all take in the glory of what I look like when I don't have all the hoochie on, all the makeup and everything. If you're wondering why I look a hot wreck, it's because I just took a hot wreck Peloton class. I did a ride. It's called a low impact ride. And so if you don't know, I'm training to do a 10-mile race. I gotta get my wires uncrossed here. We're doing this 10-mile race June 19th. So it is coming soon. It is impending. So yesterday I did my longest run, which was a little over 9 miles. For me, it takes over 2 hours to do 9 miles. I do a lot of walk runs. And the way that I did it yesterday was I listened to an hour-long coaching call on relationships from one of my own personal coach. She taught a class on it. And so I listened to that. And then the second hour, I popped in a 60-minute Peloton app class that was a run-walk and let a dude basically encourage me to not quit and to stop thinking about the pain I was in. But I just wanted to tell you guys, you know, one of the things that I'm learning through this experience is I think you all, like, I do love exercise, and don't get me wrong, but I go through the same stuff as you guys do when it comes to doing the things. Today's class is all about doing all the things, and what a detrimental thought that is for many of us. And I was thinking about it this morning, so I started my day with a 2-mile walk, just catching up with my friend Jane, my best friend, in Marco Polo, and listening to a podcast about basically just the power of our mind, especially when it comes to weight loss and getting like active if you've never been active before and stuff. So anyway, I was sitting there thinking about how often it's hard for me to get started in the mornings. I'm like a lot of you. It's like I have built the habit of exercising over the years, but I would say most days my brain wants to offer up things I could be doing instead. It offers up that we could let's just walk for a few minutes and be done. And like I go through all the things. Like let's just eat breakfast. Let's just take a day off. Like it never ends. I just want to let you guys know that because I think you think I watch a lot of you really get upset and really panic because your brain wants to take it easy. That is the nature of how our brains are designed. What we get better at is hearing it and saying no to those habit commands. I'm in the middle of writing your next month's training program, which is we're going to go back through module 2 of Nobia. So we spent this month diving really deep into module 1. We did basics 2.0. We talked all the things, like really taking a deep dive. And we're going to do something similar next month where all the calls that we have scheduled are going to be taking you through the power of the thinking. We're going to answer a lot of the questions you guys have. We're going to debunk a lot of the fears that you have around thinking. But one of the things that keeps coming up, and it comes up for me often, is I'm just better at listening to my brain and then deciding what I'm going to do and what I'm going to pay attention to, what I'm not going to pay attention to, what do I need to do a thought switch on, and what I'm just like, yeah, every day my brain doesn't want to go do. Just like yesterday. So when I signed up for this race, I had I envisioned myself at the finish line. I was so excited. I've always wanted to do this race. Height of motivation, just all kinds of junk. Just I couldn't even wait to go for my runs. Now that I've been doing it for about 12 weeks, I'm in that part where I know every run's going to hurt. It's going to be long. I'm going to have to figure out how to stay motivated while I'm running. I'm going to have to listen to a lot of bullshit in my brain. Yesterday, I literally, I had a conversation. My brain just started thinking automatically, if you cancel this race, no one's going to give a fuck. No one literally will give a fuck if Corinne does this race. No one is sitting around thinking, if Corinne doesn't do that race, my future is destroyed. And so I had to tell myself in that moment, like, we're doing it. Like, we can either dread it. Like, this can be as easy or as hard as you want to make it when you go out, but we are doing it. And so I just got started. Like, I literally just walked out the door and just said, just walk out the door. Quit thinking about it. That's what a lot of weight loss takes, guys. It's the same thing when you're going to, like, eat your plan and stuff. Sometimes you just have to get really good at listening to your excuses and just saying, no, not an option. We're just going to eat this today. If you want something different tomorrow, fine. But today, like, a lot of times it's just a lot of getting really good at telling yourself what you're going to do versus hyper-focusing on what you don't want or what you want just in the moment. So I just wanted to share that with you because today, it would have been real easy for me to not do a decent workout. Now, I will say, although I took a slow 20-minute walk because I really needed to loosen up my legs, one of the worst things that I could do after pounding them for over 2 hours yesterday was to sit on my ass today and do nothing. Really had to get the blood flow going. I really needed the joints to get some work. And let me just tell you, it was like dragging my legs. They feel so heavy today. And then I had committed that I was going to do a Peloton ride today. So I picked a low impact ride, but I knew it was important to get in a sweat today. I just know that I've got a lot of stuff to get done today, and getting my sweat out will give me energy. And so I just did it. And let me tell you, once I got started, especially once I got on the bike, all of the chatter just went away. And that often happens is when you are, when you're in the throes of your brain, just offering up all of its stuff. Once you get started, your brain automatically has to shift focus to what you're doing. So if you're ever stuck and overwhelmed, you're looking at your to-do list. You're thinking about all the things you have to do today and you feel anxious and overwhelmed or dread, kind of like most of us can feel that. I swear to God, the antidote to the anxiousness, and I don't mean like anxiety, but just anxious about having to get things done, the overwhelm of having too much to do, the dread that it's going to take forever or it's going to be hard or whatever. Once you start, then your brain has to have a different thought running through it. I want you to think about this. In order to walk outside, I had to think, I just got to get out there. We're just going to walk out the door. Like, it was a thought shift like that from I don't want to we're just going to walk out the door. That is a thought switch. A lot of you think that you've got to think, okay, I need to sit here and I need to like reflect on my why. And I need to think about the greater purpose and who I'm going to be one day. You ain't got to do all that shit. You know when you do that shit? When you're journaling. You know when you want to be doing all that stuff? Like, in your downtime, but in the moment when it's rubber meets the road, you need a command. Now, if thinking about your why and your greater purpose and all that other stuff helps you through an urge and stuff, that's fine. But what you only need, truly, is a small shift in your thinking. You need to only tell yourself, get out. Get out the door. We're just going to go walk right now. Step away from the refrigerator. We don't need it right now. We're going to wait a little bit. Like, when your brain does that, it sends a different chemical cocktail, which is going to create a different feeling. Sometimes it's willingness. Sometimes it's redirection. There's all kinds of feelings that will come up that won't be exasperating the I don't want to feelings, the resistance feelings. So you want to always look for that easy way to just get yourself into movement, into taking some action. Because once that starts, your brain is having to focus somewhere else. It can't focus on your chatter while it's trying to get you to go. And then you can start, like, once you start moving, that's a really good opportunity to start thinking about, I'll feel really good at the end of this. I'm really glad that I've left the house. I'm really glad I closed the refrigerator door. I bet tomorrow I'll be really proud. I'm pretty sure the version of me that loses all her weight needed to have that win today. Even if it's like that's when you start going into all that stuff. But that first thought switch, y'all quit trying to make it so damn like life altering, rainbows and daisies and stuff. You can if it works for you, but a lot of you are like, I can't even access those thoughts. So you need to give yourself simple commands. We're going to do this. Let's just walk out the door. Let's just close the refrigerator, see what happens in 20 minutes. That's a thought switch. And we're going to talk a lot about that next month. All right. So tag your partners. Last week of back to our basics 2.0. And let's get started. All right. We're talking today about the thought, I'm doing all the things, and how detrimental that thought is. No one is never, ever doing all the things. I don't even do all the things. Trust me when I say this. When you think I'm doing all the things, it paints this picture that there's no room to level up. It has like a subtle thought underneath it is like, I'm doing all the things, parentheses, and this should be working. And what it doesn't do is have you re-examine, reevaluate, narrow in and focus. Like a lot of times when I coach people on I'm doing all the things, I'll say, well, tell me your percentages of like your overeats. Well, Corinne, I'm like at 82%. I'm like, all right, so that other, 18%, what's going on there? And when we dig in, that 18% was fine the first 50 pounds, but the next 50 pounds, we're just now getting to the part of the overeating that we're hanging on to that's emotional. We're just now getting to the part of the overeating where it's like, oh, now I got to really start liking myself at night, finding other ways to entertain myself. Like there's other things that have to happen. Oh, this is the part where on the weekends, I have to learn that there's more than food. This is the part where I have to learn how to go out with friends and really work on my idea of fear of missing out. So this is like, I really want you guys to hear this. So doing all the things. Number one, your results aren't just scale related. So a lot of times when we're thinking about I'm doing all the things, we're just watching the scale. It's like, well, the scale's not moving, but I think I'm doing all the things. Here's the other results that we have in our life. When you're going to look at the things you're doing and evaluate, you want to remember that your results include your habit and your do goal data. Now, if you've been to camp, you know what a do goal is. A do goal is essentially for the month of June, I am going to have at least 25 24-hour plans made. So let's say that in the month of May, you do your assessment and you notice that you only did 20 days. So for the month of June, you're going to level up. You're actually going to do all the things. A lot of times you guys will say, or like, no, let's say this. Let me give you a better example for doing all the things. That you look at your assessment and in the month of May, you did a 24-hour assessment every single day. Yay, you. You get your success marker. But you look at it, you notice that only 20 of those days out of 30 or 31 that you actually followed it. But you're like, I'm doing all the things. Like I'm making the 24-hour plan. I'm doing discovery worksheets. I'm doing all the things. The scale should be moving. You're not doing all the things. You know what you're doing? Ignoring your data. Your data is showing you the scale isn't moving because you need a new goal when it comes to following your plan. So if 20 out of 31 days in the month of May, you followed your plan, guess what we got to do in June? Now we know exactly where we got to double our focus on. We got to figure out, why am I not following my plan every single day? What is the consistent pattern on those days I didn't follow my plan? On those 11 days that I didn't follow my plan, what was happening? I would write every single time. I would flip through that said journal and I would find out. I would look at all my discovery worksheets. I would look at every single one of them. I'd lay them out and be like, all right, the pattern's here. Where's the biggest offender? Is it a certain feeling, a certain time of day, around a person, certain days? Like, when is, what is really going on? Is it certain foods? What's going on? How much consistency in a pattern can I find? So that in the month of June, you're only going to work on that. You're like, I'm going to keep everything else going. And in the month of June, this feeling, this time of day with this food, this is where I'm applying all of my focus. I will make my plans. I will write about my thoughts. I will have triggers to do something different. All of my brain power for the month of June will go to, I'm breaking the pattern of XYZ through the month of June. That will be my power thought. That is what will turn on the reticular activating system in my brain so that for the month of June, I know where to zero my focus in. That's doing things. We're never doing all the things, guys. Somebody who's thinking they're doing all the things is doing a disservice to themselves. It turns your brain off from looking at the stuff that actually can move the needle for you. So when you look at habits and your do goals, so like a do goal is simply where it would be like for the month of June, I will have 30 plans made and I will have increased over the month of May to make sure that I followed now at least 25 of them by focusing in on XYZ. I know that I found 5 of my overeats were all around this one thing. So that's what I'm going to narrow my focus in on, shoring them up. So it emphasizes the actions you take. When we are looking more about, all right, what were my results? I lost this amount of weight. I maintained or I gained. I followed this many plans. This many times I ate to enough. This many times I drank water. All of that is your results. Because what you do each and every day is going to be way more important than what the scale says. And I want you to think about this. The scale won't move without you doing something. This is why in the think, feel, do cycle, there's your thoughts, your feelings, and what you do. After you do shit comes results. The result of the scale, what it's doing. And it requires you to break the habit of thinking, I'm doing all the things. That is all or nothing thinking. It's very much something in line with what a perfectionist would say. And it's a defeating thought. All right. So one of the things I want you to do for this week and going forward is to stop making the scale personal. When we think we're doing all the things, usually that also has a parenthesis of, so let's put all the things that you did do. I only lost 2 pounds this month is what y'all will say. I won't let you have only, but we'll just say it for grins here. So I only lost 2 pounds this month. Follow my plan X amount of times. Like you have your basics data. And your thought will be, I'll never be able to lose weight. This isn't working. I suck. Like it's always something personal. You make things very much about you. This is the thing you need to remember. The scale is number is not a me problem. It is not a me worthiness indicator. Whatever the number is shaking out, you cannot make it mean something's wrong with you, that you're inept, you're no good, you're less than. These things will never happen for you. That's all optional thinking. It is for sure old shitty thinking. A lot of you, your brain will habitually offer that up. But your job is to retrain your brain how to think, because the more you make the scale number and its results, a me problem versus a trigger to look at, all right, if the scale's not going the way I want it to, then that's an indicator for me to go back and look at the actions of the month to find the patterns to see what's going on. Because if I'm self-loathing, I'm not going to want to look at my data. Let me tell you why, because this is a self-sabotage moment. For all of you who came to camp, this is a self-sabotage moment. When you allow yourself to make the scale mean something is going wrong with you, then it will not want to look at the data, because every piece of data will have an attachment to, and I suck for this reason. And see, that wasn't good enough. And see, no matter what you do, you can't lose weight. You won't want to go back and look at data. That's why you have to, when you have those thoughts, you have to tell yourself, wait, no, I am learning. This is a real key. I am learning that the scale is a guidepost to dig into data, my habits and thoughts that I can use through this week. That's what the scale is trying to tell you. It is saying like, hey, I know you want to lose this much amount of weight. Here's where we're at. And if you'll go back and look at your data, then you can make the GPS for next week. That's all it's doing. It's not telling you that you're amazing. It's not telling you that you're terrible. Even if you're losing weight at a clip that you love, the data is not personal. I would just be like, great. I must be doing some actions. Let me go back and look at my data so that I can see on the weeks where the scale moves, what are my percentages like? What kind of foods am I eating? What are the things that I need to remember so I can keep planning for those things? Reemphasize to myself, doing these things works. That's what the scale is supposed to do. So let's talk about the old shitty of doing all the things. Yes, I drew him on the paper just so we all know this is an old shitty. That thought leads to feelings of frustration, and I start wanting to become unaware. I'm doing a lot of all or nothing there. And the do line becomes, when I think I'm doing all the things, I start questioning if I can lose weight. I start dismissing the obvious tweaks. I don't want to look at my data. It's just reminding me that I suck, that nothing's going to work. I start dropping into all or nothing thinking. Nothing works. If I overeat one time, I fail. I can't eat. See, I knew I couldn't eat carbs. That's what happens when we keep using doing all the things as a thought. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to sub that thought out. So doing all the things wants to come in, wants to like be like, ah, let me just remind you, you're doing all the things. Let me make you feel like shit. Now we got to insert some new hotness. So a new hotness thought comes popping in and it says, I'm doing good things and I'm willing to level up. I am sure that anybody who wants to think they're doing all the things has lots of habits that they need to amplify and celebrate. They need to first and foremost say, you know what? I'm not doing all the things, but I am doing a lot of really good things. Here are the things I want to acknowledge. Here's the ways that I've changed. You need that success indicator. You need your brain there. And you also need to say, and you know what else? Like, I'm really willing to start leveling up a little bit. All this good work I'm doing, I'm already shown myself. I have the capacity to make solid changes and adapt it as a lifestyle. So leveling up for me probably won't be that hard. I've already proven I've got what it takes to change. Those are all thoughts that you could be having instead of sitting in frustration around doing all the things. When we have that thought, those kind of lush thoughts, we start getting the feeling of willingness, aware,
and encouraged. And what do? When we feel willing, aware, and encouraged, we start going and looking at the data. We start asking really good questions like, all right, how can I make a change this week that's easy and doable and likely to help me? And we focus on what's working and we build on it. So here are the things that you can check. Number one, guys, always use that habit tracker. That's your most valuable resource. If you don't like mine, create your own. If you really don't like mine, ask in the group. I'm sure there are people who have created different habit trackers. Some of you that have created other versions of habit trackers, please feel free to share in the Facebook group. It does not hurt my feelings one bit. Yes, I try to design everything to make it easy for you. I design something that like 90% of the membership can use, get started with. It will be epic and all the things. But for some of you, you want more customizable. I just want you guys to have success. That's all. So if you have an Excel spreadsheet or some other thing that you've created, it never hurts my feelings if you guys are sharing. Check your water and sleep. A lot of you, when you're doing all the things, forget how important water and sleep are. You just think they shouldn't matter as much when they do. I have watched so many people up their water, especially with summer coming. Like I know for me, 3 liters ain't gonna cut it anymore. Look, I mean, look how much I just sweat just now. Starting the day. So, today I plan to lay out at some point. Even if I'm in the pool, I'm gonna be sweating. I know I gotta at least go to 4 liters a day now. So you wanna make sure that you're checking your water and your sleep. You can check your discovery worksheets. A lot of your patterns are going to be there. You can check your hunger. It is like, am I actually still waiting? You know, a lot of times when we get into the middle of our journey, we fall back. Like our brain's job is to always find patterns and habits. And then we get into the habit of eating around a certain time. And we think we're hungry, but we're not really hungry. We're just used to that being when we eat again. So just checking those things like, am I waiting for real hunger? Just that slight tug, enough. A lot of times as you're going through your journey and you get into the middle, especially or towards the end, we think this should be enough. Any less will just be terrible. And we equate, a lot of times we think it's going to be awful if we eat a little less because when we first started not overeating, we were so overeating that it was like, oh my God, I'm eating so much less because we were so out of touch with what reasonable for our body was. But very often towards the end, it is very micro changes. But just playing with it is everything. And then good, better, best. Just check in your foods. You know, making sure, like for me, as I got thinner and lost weight, I started eating more of the best foods, not because I felt like I had to, but because I started questioning how dependent I was on my like good foods. You know, like my story around ice cream forever was that I needed it. I had to have it. I wasn't ready to give it up. And then one day I was feeling so much better about myself because I was talking different and stuff. It was like, do I really need it? I wonder what it would be like to not have it. And so I just tried it and realized I still loved the taste of ice cream, but I didn't need it every day anymore. I didn't even need it weekly. Nowadays, I eat ice cream maybe once a month at that. And I do love it. It's one of my favorite foods, but I've taught myself over time to enjoy my life so much that I don't have to have food to be playing the starring role anymore. And if you are still in that place, I support you on that. I know what it's like. You know, we want to work on your mindset and we want to work on all that. We want to get you to where you're feeling so good about you, so encouraged around yourself, so committed to doing things and stuff that you're ready to let go of some of those things. You do not feel, like you've got to like basically be thrown in the ice bath of like, well, I need to, you know, level up right now while I'm still doing all this self-loathing. You can do that, guys. If anybody is ready to just light the fire and say, like, you know what, I want to, one of the things I want to do is have less dependence on wine at night to feel good, a food, whatever it is. So I'm not going to plan it. I know that I'm going to have a lot of urges and I know it's going to bring up whatever I've been avoiding, but I'm ready to do that work. More power to you too. I'm not going to slow you down, but nobody needs to think that that's better. The goal is for all of us to lose our weight for good. I would rather lose it for good and take an extra 6 weeks to get there, because this is what you guys think. It's going to take so long. The person who conquers their urges and self-loathing and stuff first versus the person who weans into it, we're talking maybe 6 weeks worth of difference, maybe 2 months worth of difference in getting to your goal weight. Who fucking cares? By the time you're on that last little bit, those last 2 months, you're feeling so fucking awesome. You're not going to be sitting there thinking, man, I sure wish I was already done. Because I don't teach you to lose weight in a way where you have to be graspy to be finished. We're creating a life. We're feeling the way we want to feel from the get-go. We're doing all of it in a way to where it just like the process gets better, more enjoyable along the way. So you don't have to fear that it's like, oh my God, what if it takes a little bit longer for me? The only people that fear that are the ones that are thinking the process to lose weight. Number one, it's going to be harsh and sucks. And number two, they're so full of self-loathing and they talk to themselves in a way of like, they worry about everything. They're anxious about everything. They fear everything. They think all of that will go away when they lose their weight, and it doesn't. Now they just get anxious, fear, and worry around being able to keep it off. I don't teach you to lose weight that way. So I hope that that helps you debunk some of that. So the other thing that I want you to do when you think about making your changes, when you're going to start leveling up a little bit, this week we're going to talk a lot about leveling up, which is just a level up, just where you're looking for 1% changes. What's the least little bit thing that I can change to make a difference? Don't hate on your changes. Don't sit there and say it's not good enough. You need to mind your mind. You shouldn't do anything. There's nothing you must do, and there's nothing you have to. Watch for you thinking, well, I should eat this. I have to do this. I must be doing this. Nobody has to do any of that stuff. I want you doing it like, I wonder what this will feel like. Let's see if this works. I'm willing to see what it's like. I get to try this today. Tomorrow, I get to have that. I want you talking about it in such a mindful, easy way. And then my other thing is when you're making changes, when you're like tweaking, just change 1 to 2 things that are super doable. I think that that is the best way. I think small changes where you're constantly like thinking about tweaking, making small things, keeps you in momentum, keeps you focused on the future, keeps you out of your past, it keeps you from thinking, I really believe that until you're ready to do harder things, wait until you're ready to do harder things. You will know. You will feel open to it. Most of you try to do harder things because you're scared you can't change or you hate where you're at. Hate and fear are not the feelings I want you making changes from. I want you making changes from feeling open to it. Like, am I okay with doing this today just to see what it's like? That's an openness. That's a willingness. So the call to action today, I want you to go to your doable foundation that we did in week one. And I think it was the very first class. I want you to think about what 1% level ups can I make this week? Because we've been at this for a few weeks now. And a 1% level up is literally 1% better than what I said week one. And if you're like, trust me, if you're not ready for that, then don't do it yet. But don't sell yourself short. A lot of times when we are going to make a 1% level up, we don't want to do it because we're not actually doing a 1%. We're doing like a 100% level up, a 50% level up. Get good at practicing small changes. Get good at overriding thoughts like it's not good enough and say, you know what? It is good. It's really good. It's forward momentum. And I'm going to say it again. Coach Yesenia said this at camp, and this is what I want to close on. I'd rather be crawling inches forward than taking steps backward. All right, guys, that's it for today. I will see you tomorrow. Hopefully I will look better. I promise you, I smell about as great as I look today. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.